find myself speechless. An amazing feat. Oh, very honored to be here. I am very humbled. Brother Baker has assured me that you all did not make a mistake, that you chose me, and here I am. And I'm very honored by that. I'm also humbled by that. I don't feel worthy. Oh, but I'm so grateful for a God who makes me worthy. Amen. I'm a very emotional person, so I'm sure I will cry several times. But I need to say some thank yous. So let me thank senior class. You guys, you've encouraged me so much. I've appreciated your leadership. I'm just blessed. And to hear you say, Susie, we have confidence in you is just, it makes me step up and say, okay, I can do it. Looking forward to hearing from some of you as well in the future. Thank you to the faculty and staff. Man, CBC is awesome. One of the things I love about Central Bible College is their desire to see us succeed. I have walked into an atmosphere where it says, Susie, you can do anything. And if you can't, come talk to us, and we will reassure you that you can. And I'm just grateful for that. But I want to thank some specific people. I want to start with Dr. and Sister Johns. I have just loved being in classes with you. Even Sister Johns, if I didn't take Comp 2 with you. I'm sorry. You just didn't fit in my schedule. It's all about me. I know. I'll pay for that later, I'm sure. M&Ms are coming your way. All right. Thank you so much, though. I have just learned so much. Thank you, Dr. Johns, Sister Johns. Thank you, Sister Friesen. I know that when you come in, I'm a children's ministries major. You're supposed to hook up with a children's ministries chair. I got Sister Friesen, and I think that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I have so enjoyed sitting in your office listening to you. Every time I showed up, she smiled, and I'd sit down in the chair, and we'd laugh. We had a great time. Thank you. You've got my back the whole 4 years here, except for Fitness for Death. Sorry, Coach. I do have to say, Sister Friesen did tell me to take it before this semester. It's the only thing I did not listen to her on. It's the only thing. I was like, if I'm going to die, let it be my last semester. So, thank you, Dr. Johnson. I've enjoyed watching you. I'm a big learner by watching, and I've enjoyed watching you. Thank you, Carol Brown. You are one of my heroes. I would tell you the story about how we met, but it would be painful. I'm still in therapy. So, but you know, over the years, it's been almost 10 years now, and you've been a spiritual mother, you've been a mentor, you've been my pastor, you've meant so much to me, and one day, I hope that I can be to somebody else what you've been to me. Thank you. Thank you. To my mom and dad, oh wow, I might as well just cry and get it over with, right? Thank you, you're my biggest supporters. Somewhere in a card, my mama wrote to me, Susie, we're your biggest fans. I was like, that's awesome. Because when all these people are like, Susie, be quiet. We don't want to hear you anymore. My mom and dad are saying, come talk to us. And I love that you're my security blanket. I love that. To my three special friends sitting on the front pew here, you are my partners in crime. Joey, sorry you didn't make it. The line stops there. You know, Joey, I'm still hurt that you didn't show up for my last sermon in Home 2. I'm still hurt. Dr. Cooper, you know what I'm talking about. They all trooped in like 20 minutes late. And you know what Dr. Cooper said? Just good training for when you're a pastor in a church. They're all going to come in late. Oh, when the saints come dragging in. Oh, wow. It was great. It was great. Can I tell you that I'm extremely nervous standing up here this morning? I find humor helps me get through some things. But man, I Sister Booze and Brother Booze are sitting on the back row somewhere. There you are. This is my pastors from Ridgedale, Missouri. Make a plug real quick for Ridgedale. Ridgedale needs some workers. If y'all are interested in going and working in a small church that has some unique challenges but has great potential, that's the man and woman to see back there. Sister Booze, thank you. I almost thought about doing the whole joke about, you know, how many of you know what I'm going to say? But I'm pretty sure Dr. Dimbo would probably catch me later and scalp me, so I've decided not to do that. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you open up the book of 1 John in the second chapter? Dr. Dimbo, you wouldn't really scalp me, would you?
No.
Well, I'd stay by my parents. They're my security blanket. 1 John, the second chapter. Let's pray. Lord, I don't stand here in my own abilities and my own strengths. Lord, you know how I feel about myself and, Lord, what I think. Oh, but God, when I stand in you, all things are possible. Lord, when I stand here, I am a proclaimer of the truth. And Lord, for my brothers and sisters in the sanctuary today, Lord, we are the proclaimers of the truth. We are the banner. We are the ones who held up the banner, Lord, and we declare it to all the world that we are the proclaimers of the truth, the message of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, with that in mind this morning, I ask for your anointing. I ask for your blessing. Lord, Lord, more than anything, I want you to shine this morning. Lord, let you have your way this morning. We ask in your name, amen. Amen. I want to turn to John, 1 John chapter 2, and I want to read this text this morning, if you'll read with me, starting with verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have the anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man that denies Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you have received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but his anointing teaches you about all things. And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Imagine with me, Pastor John shows up at the office Monday morning. He goes in, it's a normal office day, sits down, he's got his cup of coffee, sits behind his desk and begins to study for his sermon for Wednesday night. The administrative secretary walks in, sits down at her desk, and everything is going just fine. When Brother Schism and Dissent show up. They say, Pastor, we'd like to see Pastor John. And the secretary rings him up and says, hey, we got a couple brothers out here who'd like to talk to you. Do you have time? Pastor John is a loving man. He's very compassionate. He loves his people. He walks out of his office, walks to the church office and greets these two brothers, invites them back to his office, and sits down with them. After a few general remarks that get them started, hi, how are you? How is your day going? What's the weather like? It's cold outside. Oh, yes, it is. Thank you. They said, what can I do for you, brother? What can I do for you, brother? Dissent, and he says, well, tell you what, Pastor. I got a couple things I want to chat with you about. Number one, do you think that maybe we could take the worship service from 5 songs to 3? You think that's possible? I mean, that way it would give more opportunity for the word to be preached, so maybe we can cut it down a little bit. Pastor John kind of leans back. Well, we'll consider it. I'll talk with the worship leader. We'll see. Well, we'll talk about it. So, well, I got another thing, Pastor. Can you maybe change the time of the services? You know, we got some little kids now. They like to sleep in later. Maybe we can bump the Sunday morning service back a little bit. Well, that's going to be a little more complicated because now you got the whole church family involved, and y'all know what happens when you get the whole church family involved. Well, that's good. That's not good. So Pastor John says, well, we'll consider it. I'll think about it. Finally, Pastor John, would you stop preaching that Jesus is the Messiah? Pastor John sat straight up in his chair and he says, what? Well, we don't agree with that doctrine. We don't think he is the Messiah. Yeah, he's Jesus of Nazareth, but he's not the Messiah. So could you stop preaching this false doctrine? Pastor John put his foot down right there, drew the line. It was clear. No, I will not stop preaching about Jesus. But Pastor, if you don't stop preaching, we're going to leave the church. So I cannot stop preaching about Jesus. Pastor, I don't think you understand. If you continue in this delivery, we will leave the church. I thought right then, if I were Pastor John, I would say, see you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Pastor John loves his people. He tries to correct this false teaching, this doctrine that they believe, but they won't hear it. They leave the office, and Pastor John sits down, and he begins to write a letter. And we just read some of the letter that he wrote to his churches, to the followers. There's a couple things that we can learn from the text this morning. A couple things that we learn from the text this morning. as believers, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern what is true and what is false. We will experience conflict in the body of Christ. That's the first thing John writes to his followers. Listen, this is the last hour. The Antichrist are upon us. What is an Antichrist? Anyone who opposes the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's pretty simple if you break it up. Anti and Christ. All right? Anti against Christ. It's pretty simple. Here's the tough truth for us. We're going to experience it. Maybe, it may be possible that some of you have already experienced it just in your local churches. We will experience conflict in our churches. We will have disputes. Maybe it'll be over the carpet. Maybe it'll be over the type of songbook you purchase. It doesn't matter. You're going to have some disputes within the body of Christ. The key point is, where will you end up in that dispute? The truth is presented to us. Maybe I do have an issue. Ashley and I might have an issue. I may not agree with something that she says. I have a choice then. I can either go to Ashley and talk to her about it and we'll work out our differences, or I can get bullheaded and stomp out and say Ashley isn't worth it. We have some options. I, for one, don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. I don't like it when my brothers and sisters in Christ are not happy with me. I don't like it when my family's not happy with me. I don't even like it when my friends are not happy with me. But I tell you what, Dr. Terrell says, Susie, when conflict arises, you have three options. Number one, run away screaming. Number two, fall down and play dead. Number three, deal with it head on. I am a big fan of option number two, fall down and play dead. I don't like conflict. I don't like having to deal with ugly things that arise in the body of Christ. But the reality is that we have to. We have to. I was talking to my friend Carol last week, and I said, Carol, I'd rather bury my head in the sand than have to deal with it. She said, Susie, somebody gets a free shot then. It's like, oh, this isn't good. I need to face these things head on. We need to recognize that we're going to experience conflict. And I want to encourage you now, decide how you will deal with it. Decide now, because some of us are going to go right into the ministry. Us graduating seniors, we're looking forward to going right into this great ministry service, this great opportunity, this great, this moment where we can just stop and say, God, I want to do whatever you want me to do. And then we get there and we realize that it's not as good as we thought it was. And we're going to have to deal with it right then and right there. But the great thing is this, we're not alone. Amen. We're not alone. We're not alone. We must be willing to acknowledge not everyone will remain true to the message of Jesus. That's a hard one to swallow. Not everyone is going to remain true to Jesus. That breaks my heart. That grieves my spirit. That means that I can look at it, all of you are here, and recognize that maybe there's going to be one of you that won't stay true to Jesus. You might buy into this false doctrine. You might be swept away by a charismatic leader who comes in and just tickles your spiritual antenna and you just sweep right on out with them. That's tough. It's tough to deal with. It's tough to accept. It's tough to acknowledge. You know what makes it even worse is that this is your church family. It's your church family. I love in Ridgedale. I love Karen and Ed and Nelson and Joyce. It's a great church family down there. And it would floor me if they came up to me one Sunday and said, Susie, we're out. We don't agree with this doctrine. We don't agree with this Jesus. We don't agree with this baptism. We don't agree with this. We're out. It hurts worse when it's family. You fight on the front lines with them. You weep at the altars with them. You laugh over chicken dinners on Sunday afternoons with them. And now they're saying to you, we're out. It rips your heart out. I encourage you today. I don't want this to be depressing, but I encourage you, face the reality here and prepare yourself for it now. God, I'm going to need your anointing to help me make it through this. God, I need your anointing to help me make it through this. It's in these moments that we learn to trust the Holy Spirit to discern what is true and what is false. In verses 20 through 23, we read that we've been given anointing of the Holy Spirit to discern the truth. When John speaks of the anointing of the Holy One, he refers to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's ability to give all knowledge. This anointing, as used by John in his text, is a spiritual one given by the Holy Spirit. When I read the word anointing, my mind immediately goes to the Old Testament examples of King Saul. When God said to Samuel, take up your horn of oil and go and anoint the one I say to you. And I always get this image of this whatever it is, horn, I suppose. And you uncap it and you just pour it all over their body, and it just begins to drench them. I've often thought that would be kind of gross. I don't want oil all over my clothes. But there's this, it's not about the oil. It's about the symbol of the oil. It's about this covering of this call of God. You know what the anointing is for us today? The anointing is the ability to accomplish a task the Lord has set out for you. Our anointing today is that Matthew 28:18 command. Go and make disciples. We need this anointing to fulfill the task. Better yet, John says, not only do you need the anointing, but you have the anointing. That means that every one of us in here who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have the special power, the special call to go and fulfill the great command. In spite of adversity. In spite of those who defect, in spite of those who rip our hearts out and walk out the door, we still have this special anointing. We still have this power from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because that moment, you're not going to feel like going. Mm-hmm. You're not going to feel like living. You're just going to be wiped out. Oh, but I've got the Holy Spirit. Got the Holy Spirit. And it's even better because in that moment, if you're anything like me, when somebody comes to me and says, Susie, maybe what you just said isn't right, I'm going to immediately think, well, maybe it wasn't right. I'm going to second guess myself. But right then, the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, Susie, trust me. Susie, trust me. Susie, rely on me. Susie, rest in the anointing that you've been given by the power of the Holy Spirit. Susie, walk in that. You know, you can take my name out and put your name in there. Put your name in there. I can rely on God. I can trust God. I can walk with this. I can overcome this false doctrine. When John was writing his letter, we often, Dr. Johns has tried hard to get me to overcome this, but some things don't connect sometimes. I get this idea that when I'm reading the New Testament and I'm reading about Peter and James and John and I'm reading about the followers and all the disputes they had, I just assume that they had the entire Bible. I just assume that they had exactly what I had. And therefore, it should be simple to just follow after Jesus. They didn't have the whole Bible. And once that clicks in my brain, I'm like, oh, duh. No wonder it was difficult. Did you know? I'm sure you do. I'm just going to share it with you because I get excited about it. They didn't have the Gospel of John yet. Some commentators speculate that John was writing the Gospel as he's pastoring these churches. Maybe, just maybe, some of the other church leaders had brought Matthew, Mark, and Luke to him and said, hey, can you verify these accounts? And John says, yep, that's right. They don't have Acts, they don't have Romans, they don't have Philippians, Corinthians. They don't have the text of the New Testament that we are so conversant in. They don't have it. So when they're dealing with these theological issues, they're just having to rely on two things: the anointing of the Holy Spirit to discern the truth, and the historical words of Jesus Christ, in our words, the gospel. They've got, I think this is just fascinating, is that they've got John the Apostle. Y'all know who John is. This is the guy who's he and his brother James were the fishermen on the boat. This is the guy who was with Peter when Peter declares, you are the Christ. This is the guy who leaned against Jesus at the Last Supper. This is the guy who stood at the foot of the cross and heard his Savior say to him, see my mother, take care of her. This is the guy who joined Peter as they ran to a tomb that was empty. This is a guy that stood there and he watched Jesus ascend into heaven. This is the eyewitness of Jesus Christ. And he does not rely on his testimony. He says, listen to what we've said and know it's true because of what God witnesses to you. Here's the words. I told you the truth. John says to them, I've told you the truth. You've known it from the beginning, and it's verified because the Holy Spirit quickens it in you. Uh-huh. You can withstand this false doctrine. Here's the doctrinal issue that John was having to fight against, that John was having to correct, that John was having to teach on. These dissenters, these secessionists, if you will, said that Jesus isn't the Messiah. Jesus is of Nazareth. Jesus was born. He did have a mother and a father, but he's not the Messiah. He doesn't fulfill the roles of the Messiah. Say thank you to Dr. Medina for his message on Friday. What a great message on the typology of the sacrifices of the Old Testament relating to Jesus Christ. What if you take Jesus out as the Messiah, do you know what we have left? If he's not the Messiah, if he's not the one who fulfilled every one of the sacrificial roles, do you know what we have left? We have nothing. We don't have salvation. We don't have the foundation of the New Testament. We don't have anything. What we have is zero. If John allows these people to persist in their doctrine, if he allows them to continue to preach to his followers, Jesus is not the Messiah, what do they have left? Can I tell you today that this is not just for John's time? John didn't just write it, okay, my church is, I'm going to tell them this is Jesus is the Messiah, and then the issue is settled. We're still battling the same issue today. We're still battling against Jesus is not the Messiah. So I want to say to you, don't compromise the truth. It may be easier to agree with them on the outset because you don't want to face adversity. You want to fit in. You want to belong. But we cannot afford to compromise this truth. There is a simple truth. It is simple. We can build the rest of the New Testament on the baptism, pneumatology, tortology, whatever you want to, ology you want to use. But if we don't have Jesus Christ as the Messiah, we have nothing. If we have nothing, then we offer the world nothing. We need to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern the right way to go. I mentioned earlier that I love my mom and daddy. They're very great to me, very dear to me. I'm just glad that they're here. And I have to tell you that a lot of what I've learned in my life, a lot of those foundations that Carol got to build on later, and she was trying to make me into a good and honest and upright Christian. My mom and dad laid those foundations. I watched them pray. I watched them read their Bible. My daddy would often make us have Bible studies on Saturday nights. I'd rather be sleeping. He's like, we're going to study the Bible. Okay. I watched them. Like I said, I'm a great learner by watching. And I watched them when conflict came to the church. And this must have been pretty intense conflict because I was only 8 years old and I still remember it. And I didn't even understand it, and yet it affected me in such a way. I've avoided conflict for a long time. Conflict came to the church. My mom and daddy went to church when I was 4 years old. They were invited by my uncle. And they accepted the invitation, and from that moment on, their lives were forever changed. And it altered my life, and I'm so grateful. But I watched them as they worked in the children's ministries, youth ministries. My mama led worship. She can play the piano great. I'm jealous. I watched them as they participated in every aspect of ministry that you could find in church. Our Saturday afternoons were spent cleaning the bathrooms. That's what the King family did on Saturday afternoons at the church. That's just part of what we did. And I watched them as the conflict swept across the decks of the church. And it was tough. I'm an 8-year-old kid in the bathroom crying. I don't understand what's going on. And I watched my parents. And they had to make some tough choices. Will we stay true to what we know? Will we be true to what is right? Or will we compromise so that we can fit in with the rest of the church? It was a sad day when my parents took us and left the church. I didn't understand it all. I still don't understand it all. But I knew that they were right. My parents were new Christians. They only had two things to rely on: the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're going to experience some tough times. We're going to have charismatic leaders, perhaps some established ministers who are going to come and they may proclaim that they've had a new revelation from the Lord. You might even be able to think of some religions today that exist because there's new revelation from the Lord. John would write later in his 4th chapter of the same letter that we should use the Spirit to discern amongst the spirits. We should use it to be able to tell what is true and what is false. Can I share with you a website that I found? I was Googling websites, churches in the Springfield area, and I want to share with you a website that I found that's announcing and inviting you to church. It starts like this. We are believers in Jesus Christ who accept all people without judgment and who desire to work and worship as a community striving for social justice. That's the line on the top of the website. And then he says, have you given up on going to church? We understand. If you believe that Christ calls us to be nothing less than global citizens, that the social expression of love is justice, and that spiritual concerns are inseparable from the commitment to the natural world, we are your church. If you've wished for more open and embracing community of faith to nurture your spirit and raise your children and haven't yet found a place of belonging, we're your church. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? If you understand that faith is a matter of mind as well as heart, and that taking the Bible seriously means it cannot always be taken literally, we are your church. If you know that God's love embraces all persons equally, no matter their gender, race, or sexual identity, if for you diversity means tolerance and inclusiveness, which are strengths to be taught, then we warmly invite you to visit us at, and it gives the name of the church. Did y'all catch the part where if you believe, I want to go back to this. If you understand that taking the Bible seriously means it cannot always be taken literally, do y'all understand that that is not right? This is what we will face on a regular basis. If our professors haven't instructed us again and again and again, be prepared for the hard answers, then I want to say it to you now. Be prepared for the hard answers. Because your parishioners and your students and your kids at kids' church and your young adults and youth group are going to come to you and say, is Jesus really the Messiah and why should I believe it? At that moment, you have three options. Run away screaming, fall down dead, or confront it head on. Thank you, Dr. Terrio, forever for that. Appreciate that. We have the anointing for a purpose. We have an anointing for a purpose. John will go on to say in his letter that if you remain faithful, you have a promise. Faithful to what? Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Why did Jesus come to die? To forgive us of our sins and give us the hope of an eternity forever with Him. If you remain faithful, my brothers, my sisters, you have a promise of a life that is everlasting. Amen. But if you don't remain, if you walk out, if you leave this true faith, you have nothing. That's right. If we don't preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living Lamb, the Holy Righteous One, the sacrifice for our sins, if we don't preach Him, then we have nothing and we give nothing. John says, he uses the word remain five times in this passage. And the first time he uses it, it meant a physical presence. They were in the church. But after this, it's completely spiritual. We must remain in the true teaching. Amen. Not in the church. We must remain in the truth. That's right. We must remain in the truth. Sometimes truth isn't being preached in the church. That stinks, doesn't it? Brother Cooper says to us in Psalm 2 last semester, be intentional. Be intentional. If you've got a message and it's a true message, make sure you preach it. Be intentional. Do it on purpose. Do it on purpose. We can persevere when others antagonize our faith, and we're going to be antagonized. We are living in an increasingly hostile environment. Our brothers and sisters around the world would already tell us that we are suffering persecution. We know that. We know that Indonesia and Iran and Afghanistan, we know that in Korea, the South Korea, we know that our brothers and sisters are suffering persecution. We are going to suffer persecution too. And I want to encourage you right now. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Know how you're going to answer for when it comes. If Rachel Scott said to her, the shooter to her, he says, do you believe in Jesus? And she responded, yes. Whether you and I would say that he was testing her or not. And when that moment came, she knew how she would answer. Do you know how you're going to answer when that moment comes? Will you in that moment rely on the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the Word and remain in the truth in the face of adversity? When the church members come to you, or when your brothers and sisters in Christ come to you and they say, we just can't go with you there. Will you say, okay, I won't preach that anymore? Okay, I won't teach that anymore. Will you remain true to the message? Think about it. Remaining true to the message. Remaining true to the message. Dissension and schism, whatever that word is, had infected the church. It had infected the church in John's day. It affects our church today. We're not immune to it. We're not immune to that. Matter of fact, I would say that some of us have the potential to be the dissenters. Some of us have the potential to cause conflict. I want to challenge you this morning. If that's you, if you feel like your heart is hardening toward teachings or toward your classmates, toward your professors, toward the gospel message, if this is you this morning, would you recognize that potential and right now make the choice to reject it and remain in the truth? That was hard for me to say, and I really appreciate Dr. Cooper just encouraging. That's hard to say. Maybe there's some of us sitting in this room right now who have in us the potential to be a dissenter. Maybe. Just maybe. And if that's you this morning, are you willing to recognize it? Come to the altar. Say, God, I surrender that. I want to remain in the truth. Would the worship team come up with? Join us. If this is you, I want to open these altars up for that right now. That's going to be very tough to walk down, and I realize that. But I think sometimes in life there are tough moments when we need to face it head on. We can't fall down dead. We can't run away screaming from this one. We need to confront it head on. Secondly, this morning, I want to encourage you. Even though we're going to face some difficult times, it may come from without, it may come from within. Will you rely on the Holy Spirit? Will you walk in the anointing? Will you study the Word of God? Will you commit today? Will you take that moment and commit today? I am going to. Today I declare I will be true. I will walk in the anointing. I will read God's Word and I will study and I will have an answer for the tough questions. And if I don't, I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to answer those tough questions. If that's you this morning, would you stand? If that's you this morning, would you stand? I make a commitment to stay true to the gospel. I make a commitment today to stay true to the gospel. Today I declare my dependence upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Today, I acknowledge that I have to walk in that anointing so that I can discern what is true and what is false. Today, I admit that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that I can withstand the wiles of the evil one. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand and just make that declaration out loud? Would you verbalize that this morning? I declare that I need to be in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I declare this morning that I will remain true to the gospel message. I declare this morning I will use the anointing to discern what is right and what is wrong. I declare this morning that I am a proclaimer of the gospel. I am a truth bearer. I am a torch bearer. I am a preacher this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.